Well, my workshop is on uniquely more than a conqueror. And, you know, you spend time preparing and stuff, and you got all these great ideas and thoughts and stuff, and you get up here and it's like, oh my gosh, okay, there's like 15 seconds. You know. But Romans 8:37. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So in this workshop, I'm just going to go through just a few logistics of it, just to kind of set a platform, and then I'll get into a little more personal kind of things that have, you know, helped develop me through stages that I've gone through and seasons that have helped me be more than a conqueror. So the verse, now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And you know that in the original text of the Bible, it was not in English, so not everything that was communicated from the original language in the Bible can be precisely translated into the English. You lose some of the things in the course of translation, so and it doesn't always convey the original meaning. For example, in Ephesians 5:18, it says in the English or whatever version of it is, but in the English language it says, "Be filled with the Spirit." But what is lost in that from the Greek language is, "Keep on being filled with the Spirit." That continual, that is a, you got to keep filling, keep filling, keep filling, keep filling. Not just be filled, but keep on filling. So to be more than a conqueror, you are going to have to put the Word of God into action. Basically, study His Word to be approved so that you can apply His Word. So if you think about that, knowing that, you know, not everything is can really encompass the whole language of the Greek or Hebrew, but that's not a loss because there are things that we can do to circumvent that. And one of them is we can study and we can use other sources. We can use, you know, you don't have to know Greek or Hebrew to study the meaning of the language. You can thank God for the internet, you know, and the simplicity of grabbing hold of resources that you used to have to go to the library for. But if you look at again that verse, in all things we are more than conquerors. So what things? In all what things? In all trouble, in all hardship, in all persecution, in all famine, in all nakedness, in all danger, in all sword. And what, now these are just taken from like the Strong's Concordance, looking into that verse and those, dissecting those words and really getting more of a grasp of what they mean, because it's like, you know how if I were to put a Japanese encyclopedia in front of you and tell ask you to read it, it's like it would be clueless. You'd be clueless. Sometimes you have to search and research and really dissect things in order to gain from it. Trouble. Disturbed, agitated, stirred up. Now keep in mind things that are this whole workshop is being more than a conqueror. But through all these things that hinder us, these are the things through these things that I'm going to just list, these are things that we can be more than conquerors in. Things that disturb you, things that agitate you, things that stir you up, things that cause you an inner perplexity. And I'm naming these things, but think of the things in your own life that cause you to be to experience these things. And know that in these things, in the promise we have in the Word, He says that we can be more than a conqueror. Emotional agitation, hardship, endure affliction, suffer evil, suffering, persecution, literally, means the hurt to bring someone down. Some very deliberate. Have you ever been on the receiving end of that? Danger, you know, uncertain peril. I mean, some things we can control, some things we can't control. The sword, in a study in the Greek of what that means, it's like destroying the peace. Equivalent to having power of life or death. So if you think of things that, you know, stand in the way from you being more than a conqueror, it's those things that come in and cause you to be agitated, perplexed, destroys the peace. In verse 36 of Romans 8, it says, we face death all day long, like sheep to the slaughter. It's like we are like raw meat in this world, because we are a target for the enemy, and he does not want us to conquer anything. But the Lord says we are more than conquerors. How? There's a second part to that verse in Romans 8:37. It says, through him who loved us. He never said, you have to be more than a conqueror on your own. It is through him. And that sounds like so easy when you just think about, oh yes, in Christ, through him. But then why do we struggle? This whole workshop is going to be about how we can be more than a conqueror. Consider this. If being more than a conqueror is in Christ who loves us, his love for us, consider this about his love. Neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, nothing in the present or future, nor any powers, any height or depth, nor anything else in all creation. And that pretty much names everything. Everything. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. And that's a familiar verse, but think about that. You want to be more than a conqueror? You've got to take these verses, these promises, not these particular verses per se, but you've got to take this, and you got to make this real to yourself. Not because you have the strength to or the understanding to, but because you avail yourself to him to work in it, you know. It's like if you're married, and not even if, you know, if you're married, if you have a friend, a good friend, if there's going to be any kind of relationship built, you got to spend time, quality time, not just like showing up wham bam, you know. I won't finish the rest of that, but but you reap what you sow. You cannot go wrong with his word. Thank you, my little peanut gallery in the front here. So that pretty much sums it up right there, all the things that cannot separate us from the love of God. And know this. In all things, in Romans 8:28, it says, in all things, all these things, all the agitations of life, all the peril, all the finances, all the broken relationships, all the disappointments, all the false accusations, all the things that have been done to us or that we have done to others, in all of those things, the Lord says that he works for good for those that love him, who are called by him. So, let's talk about everyday life. So this is, and I'm going to repeat myself a lot, but this is a workshop on More Than a Conqueror. So how many of you got up this morning and said, I'm going to be less than a conqueror today? I'm just going to go out there and I am going to be less than a conqueror today. That is what I'm going to do. That's what I got set before me. That's what I'm doing. Do we say that? We don't voice it, but we can act like it. You know how we act like it? We embrace worry, the what ifs. I mean, I'm naming things, but put yourself in these situations that are relevant to you. We try to, you know, we're faced with some kind of a situation that makes us uncomfortable or something that we don't agree with or don't understand, and so we try to manipulate the situation or control it or say, oh, I'm not going to do this, or if he does that or she does that, well, this is what I'm going to do. You know, we try to, in our fear and in our anxiety and in our worry, we try to control instead of conquer. And conquer is not controlling. Conquering is overcoming. Conquering is letting go. But we get ourselves all worked up. And in essence, we're saying, I'm less than a conqueror. I'm not going to believe in the promises that of God's word that says, in all things, I am still a conqueror. It's really easy to be more than a conqueror when things are going well. But you throw a few storms of life in there and few mishaps and we're like, oh, I quit. Forget it, you know? Or maybe you don't even quit. It's just like, forget it. That is the wrong thinking. Because he has promises in his word, regardless of what's happening around us. The Lord has given these promises to us so that we can be more than conquerors. And, you know, he is a God of love and grace and mercy. And what kind of parent would take their baby, their infant toddler or whatever, and just like drop them off downtown Anchorage and just say, go fend for yourself? No, you train them, you put them in school, you get them around other people, you walk them through them, you train them, you bring them up. And in the course of that training, they're going to be faced with circumstances that you didn't plan on. Hardships, things that, you know, conflicts with people or conflicts with kids that, you know, you don't plan for them and you don't go, I'm going to be more than less than a conqueror. But you know what? God has ordained all of our days if we're willing to walk through what he has a plan. And some of those days that he has planned for us are going to be those days that are full of storms. if you think about this workshop being uniquely more than a conqueror, and you study the word uniquely a little bit, it is one of a kind. Only begotten, unique. There is no one else like you. And if you think that, you know, try to wrap your heart and your mind around that, it's like, you know what, when the Lord, when this word was spoken into being, he had you in mind your whole life. And he has designed you to be more than a conqueror. And whatever we have to conquer, whatever he has set up for us to conquer to make us stronger, it's going to be different for different people. I remember when I was a senior in high school, and one of the things that we had the opportunity to do was you could take college classes, like in the afternoons on some of the days, instead of going to school. And I thought, oh, that's awesome. Now, I had no interest so much in the college, but I had the interest in the other three afternoons off because you only had to go Tuesday and Thursday. So what I had planned and what the Lord had planned were kind of two different things. But I remember this, one of the assignments for English class was write something about yourself that it makes you unique. And so, you know, I wasn't a great writer or anything, and so that was really a taxing thing for me. So I, you know, put something that was unique, what I considered unique about myself, and got my paper back, and had all sorts of red ink on it. It's like, what? But he's like, how is that unique to you? That's everybody. You know, and it's like, I didn't think of it that way. You know, I was just thinking about myself. But, you know, we are similar in a lot of ways. But what is it that the Lord has put in me that is unique only for me? Now, a friend of mine that was also in the same class, her paper was, I mean, she got like A+, right? When she was 5 years old, her brother said, they had a BB gun, and didn't have any BBs in it, but he said, I'm going to shoot you in the eye. And he aimed and shot her right in the eye, and there was one BB lodged in it. And as a result, she lost her vision in the eye, but she had the most striking light blue, vibrant, beautiful eyes, but that BB caused her other eye to be black. So that was unique about her. You know, if that would have been me, my eyes are dark, that would not have been such a contrast. So what is unique to one is not necessarily unique to another. You are one of a kind. You are one of a kind, and you have access to his promises that says whatever you come across, whatever I put before you, you can be more than a conqueror. The amazing thing too is that in this verse, in that phrase, more than a conqueror, if you look and study the Greek again, more than is actually just a second here. More than a conqueror is like a compound word. Like, you can't, if you separate it, you're gonna lose the power of that that word. And just a second here, let me find it here. So more than a conqueror, the entire phrase, we are more than a conqueror, is one word in the Greek. Hooper Nikeomen, I might slaughter this language, but Hooper means above, over. Nikeo means to conquer. Nikeomen, victors or conquerors. So really what Paul was literally saying is that we are believers. We are not victims in a fallen world in Christ. We are above. We are the victors. We are super victorious. Instead of getting by in life's circumstances, no. In Christ, we are overwhelmingly victorious, overwhelmingly conquerors. And I know that, when you are in the midst of your storms and struggles, it's like you so do not feel like a conqueror. The Hooper, again, like I said, I might repeat myself on a few things here, but over, above, beyond, way beyond measure, superior, utmost, paramount, foremost, first rate, first class, top notch, greater, higher, better than, surpassing, more than. You are more than a conqueror. You are more than. You are winners. You are beyond winners. But we still walk around, oh, I'm going to be a less than a conqueror today. So we can say we are Hooper conquerors. Like I said, it's easy to conquer, but when things are going well, but when they're not going well, what do? Remember, he's working all things. And think of some scenarios in your life that, not so easy going through it, but when you look back, you can kind of see how his handiwork has been on you all the time. I remember I'm just getting ready to retire. This is my 25th year. But my first year teaching, I taught in the bush, and I was so excited. I just was excited. I didn't care. It was like in the bush. They did direct deposit. I never even saw a paycheck. I didn't care. It was like I loved it. But I was in a fresh out of college, kind of, I wouldn't say in a sheltered world so much, but I wasn't out there in the real world, per se, in the, in a professional kind of position, but a lot of politics. It's like they didn't teach me that in school, I just wanted to teach. I just wanted to serve. It's like, Lord, I came here because I know you opened the door. I mean, I went up to the job. I didn't even live in Alaska. And kind of a freak thing, I just happened to hold an Alaska teaching certificate. I went up to the job fair in Fairbanks, and I had been up there 2 or 3 days, and it was like nothing. I'm like, okay, God, there's nothing here for me. I remember sitting in the cafeteria. They were doing like open forum, and these two gentlemen way up in the front, and there's like, if anybody has a holds a Alaska teaching certificate right now and is interested in teaching kindergarten and, I didn't even know the name of the place he left him, so I didn't care. Like, that's one. But that was like a total God thing because I was just about ready to leave. And so I went out there and it was like, I couldn't believe just the politics. It was like I felt like so alone and being persecuted, and so much so that I had heard this, another teacher in the school said, yeah, they're having a powwow tonight. And I'm thinking, wow, man, that's cool. It's like some sort of a native tradition or something. And she's like, no, it's about you. You can sit down and have like a gossip session, I mean, can you imagine fresh out of college? And the thing about it is, I only worked in my class and went home. It's like, but it was driven because of, other people's insecurities. And you're going to be the brunt of persecution and accusations and wrongdoing when you are just trying to walk and do what the Lord calls you to do. You know, one of the hard things too was I had to go to the board meeting, and it was like the whole village, not the whole village against me, but it felt like that. And but I say all that to say this. Through that caused me, I had a choice, and I decided to relocate to a village that, I didn't know where that one was either, but it was like Tulixac, you know? And so I went to Tulixac, and I, you know, it's like, Lord, why did you even have me go where I was? Because it was like, what was the purpose? Did you just want to beat me up or not? And, you know, this, whoa, me, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like just seeing if I'll fall or what, or test me. Why did you need to test me? All the, you know, pity party kind of stuff. But it's like, no, I know that you called me. I know the hard part was I knew that I was where I was supposed to be. But the hard part was I didn't know why I had to endure that. But that caused me to, you know, consider my options and move on. And so I got into this village. And at the time, just to give you an idea, years later, I saw in the national news that this particular place was the lowest on the standardized test scores in the United States. I mean, attendance was like extremely low. It was a place that a lot of kids in and out, a lot of kids that weren't wanted, a lot of kids dumped, a lot of kids that grew up, and it just all of life's struggles, all the outcasts of society, right there. And that's where I was. And half of the class, I think, at the time, they were kids that, you know, had special ed services, and the other half could have been. They just didn't stand out far enough. Now, keep in mind, this is like my second year of teaching, and you know, years ago, they didn't really train and equip in the regular ed program, special ed, like they do now. But I'm thinking, man, I need to get some more understanding of how to help all these kids. So I took a year off, went to the University of Anchorage and got my special ed endorsement and my master's, and thinking I'm going to now go back into the regular classroom teach special ed for a bit, then go back into the regular classroom, and so I can be more effective for all kids. Well, you know, once you get in special ed, they don't let you out. I'm like, Lord, this is not what I was planning to do, you know. And fast forward a few years, I go to this meeting, and my husband and I had moved out in the valley, and they were just starting to get in a glow out there, and or they had one out there, and they were trying to get it to go again, and they were having a speaker, and I mean, a glow, you know, things of the spirit. I mean, that was new. I grew up in a very conservative church, and my dad was a pastor. And anyway, so I'm like, okay, I'll go. Well, this lady was there and speaking, and I don't so much remember exactly what she was talking about, but she was talking about this one place on the Kuskokwim. And afterwards, I went up, but she's like, yeah, I just had been to this place that the Lord gave me an assignment, and it's like in the spirit, I could see that like baby carriages in the water, and just rubbish, and just the dumping of everything, like just the injustice done on the land. And she's like, I can't remember the name of it. And I'm like, Tulixac? It's like, nobody goes there. Now, had I not gone through what I had to go through, and know that in all things, God works all things. Because if we are on his course. He is going to use everything and even set up things to get us to where we're going to go. That's how I met Haney. That's how I met Nancy. She went to Tulaksac, where nobody goes, and we've been connected ever since. Now, had, you know, why is it that the Lord just couldn't say, so just go to the meeting and bypass all the hardship and the things along the way? Because he doesn't take me and drop me off downtown. He walks me through the things that are going to be hard, and he strengthens me, and he causes my roots to go down deep into his living water, because when the storms come, my tree, my anchor is going to hold. You know, how many of you had to fly to get here? Okay. How many of you have family or kids that are outside of Alaska or places that you, especially in Alaska, if you want to go someplace, basically you have to fly, right? Aren't you thankful for the Wright brothers? You know, we hear about the Wright brothers, and you kind of just think of, oh yeah, they invented the plane, and that's awesome. But there's a whole other story to that. They had quite a few brothers and sisters, and Wilbur and Orville actually never graduated from high school. In fact, their father was a clergyman, Reverend Wright, that's a tongue twister, and Wilbur had plans to go to Yale and become a clergyman. But when he was a teenager, he was in a hockey accident, was hit, and the majority of his teeth were knocked out, and he had pretty severe injuries, and it caused him to become pretty much a recluse. Dropped out of school, just stayed at home, just read and stuff. He never did go to college. His plans totally diverted by an accident. Unforeseen accident, something that happened that was not even in his control. Have you ever had something, your sights set on something, and then all of a sudden you get slapped with a hockey stick? I mean, physically he could have gone on, but it's like his confidence was stripped. I mean, you know, back then it's not like they could go to the oral surgeon. And here's the amazing thing, the very person that, you know, in my research didn't say if it was an accident or not, but when he grew up, he ended up murdering his own mom and dad and brother. Not the right, the one that actually hit him with the stick. But they failed. Wilbur and Orville failed thousands of times before they actually had a flight that was successful. And here's the amazing thing. You know, it's not so much that they... you know, because the study of aeronautics and stuff had been studied and a lot of data collected, that wasn't the problem. The problem was, how do you get something to sustain itself with control? So really what they actually invented was a three-part axle that allowed, you know, to have control in flight. And but the amazing thing is that in doing so, they had to throw out all they knew, because they had been relying on data that had been collected by scientists all along the way. And it's like years of study. And they were using that information to try to develop what the Lord had put in them. And it wasn't until they said, no, we're throwing out all this data, and they developed a new set of things. They actually built a wind tunnel, and they said, you know, earlier in their lives, they had actually received Jesus as their Savior, and they kept their Sunday sacred. They actually went out to a place in South Carolina. It's called Kitty Hawk, I think, and it was a place where, you know, a lot of their experiments and things were dependent on the weather. So when Sunday came around, if it was a perfect day to fly, they never did. They never faltered on that, what was instilled in them. And that may seem religious or whatever, but you know what? There are some things that God has put in order that through the years we have just kind of lowered the standard, thinking it's still okay. This is our standard. And they honored their Sunday as a day of rest, regardless if it was a perfect day for flying. So they threw out all that data that was supposed to be the right stuff to help them get to where they were going and the desires that were in their heart. But it wasn't until they started to study God's creatures and how they flew and watched the birds and how they maneuvered themselves. Sometimes, to be more than a conqueror, we try to do things the same way. We keep using the same methods, the same data, the same thing over and over again. It's not working. Sometimes we just have to throw it all out and let go. And if you're going to be more than a conqueror, you have to let go of everything that you think or that anyone else thinks is right, and you got to let go, and you got to start over. Go back to the foundation. Go back to the basics. Had they not been more than conquerors, we wouldn't have the technology and aircraft that we do today. Probably. There was another man through history. Have you heard of Dr. Moon? Not like the moon up there, not the moon and stars, but he was a doctor that, this is what he said. Stricken with blindness, he said, Lord, and he was English, so this is hence some of the verbiage you're going to hear. Lord, I accept this talent of blindness for thee. Help me to use it for thy glory, that thy coming thou mayest receive thine own with usury. Then God enabled him to invent the moon alphabet for the blind, by which thousands of blind people were able to read the word of God, and many of them were gloriously saved. And the thing about that, it was developed around the same time as the Braille system, but the Braille system was much more complex. And a lot of people back then, they lost their eyesight later in years, and they didn't have the agility and the time to learn the complexity of Braille. And what Dr. Moon developed was a real simplified form of Braille. And one of the reasons, too, that he developed it was because he had a desire to teach other people how to read that didn't have the ability to see. And he came across some students that he had that they just couldn't pick up the complexity of the Braille. So he simplified a system so that, you know, those that had more difficulty learning could pick it up, could read, could access print. And, you know, being a special ed teacher, that's huge because it's like, we all learn. We all learn. We all have the ability to learn. But the problem is, we're all given the same instruction and expected to all get it. But we all have different learning styles. And you know, that's like us as a Christian people too. That's why we are unique. Because God gives all of us that specialized instruction. So I'm very proud to say that I'm glad he is also a special ed teacher. Are you with me? My mom, who just turned 81 in January, she lives in Michigan, and I know that she's got stories and testimonies about being more than a conqueror. And I'm like, Mom, here's my workshop. Do you have any, you know, thoughts on what made you more than a conqueror? Or, you know, already knowing, you know, that kind of thing. So I was very happy when she sent this to me, and she says, and they're just notes, because, okay, keep in mind she's 81 and technology was not helping her. It's like, she's like, I just wrote you this long letter and then, boop, it's gone. And so she just ended up scribbling a few notes here, but she says, ways I know I was a conqueror, because I know the Lord was watching over me, though I didn't feel like it at the time. And that's key. You know, when you're going through the storms and it's like everything just seems like it's wreaking havoc and you're like, Lord, where are you? Where are you? He is right there. He's saying, in all things, good or bad, in all things, he works them out. When I was rejected by the one who I loved more than life itself, and that was my dad. When I was 7 months pregnant and served divorce papers and didn't want a divorce, I didn't want to live. When I was face to face with everyone and accused of something that was so untrue in the face and the day, and then in that day and age. Now, keep in mind, I told you earlier my dad was a pastor, so that would make her a pastor's wife. My dad left, but he would come back. 7 months later, she's pregnant, and they says, no, it's not mine. Small town. I mean, he was her whole life. I have five other brothers and sisters, there's six of us all together, but can you imagine the scorn and the topic of conversation that she was in that town? She didn't do anything wrong. I'm not saying in the marriage, you know, there's always two sides, but why did she have to be faced with being more than a conqueror? She says, I cried so many tears, but the word says the Lord keeps my tears in a bottle. Mine must be a big bottle. Having my kids to keep me going and the Lord's faithfulness to supply all my needs was my only reason to go on. I was a conqueror to have to learn to do things on my own for the first time in my life. See, the Lord, he has birthed something in each one of us that's valuable. And if we are so dependent on other people and put other people before him, it makes it a little difficult for him to be Lord of our life. So he brings those adversities to, or allows them to happen. And even if he didn't plan it, he still uses it, because he works all things for good. She goes on, in the few years that my relationship with my oldest son and my youngest son, for different reasons, it was so painful, but the Lord has restored them both. I know that, you know, there may be some of you that have children that, you know, they can totally cut you off for no reason, you know, for whatever reason. Point being, not anything you can control, but it's something you're forced to, and you either have to conquer it or go around the mountain again. Slowly the Lord helped me to have a forgiving spirit and let me know that he is the healer of the broken heart. He reminds me of the scripture that became a promise to me, Joel 2:25. I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. And when I see all my children saved and doing well, and that they all have loving relationships, that is what truly blesses me. And then she goes on to say, I don't know if this is what you asked for. She said, I was also so hurt for you to go through so much and being burned so badly and not being angry with God, but he has truly helped you to be a conqueror and testimonies of grace. I tell you, you know, yeah, burn, the initial burn, that was hard, but it was like the aftermath. That was where the more than a conqueror came in to be over the top, victorious. Not because of anything I did or didn't do, but because of his promises. You know, the verse that, it's like you have to lay your life down to pick it up, to live. If you want to be more than a conqueror, you're going to have to let go of the things that you try to control. And the hard part is, we have this flesh, this tent that we have to live in. And when we're faced with things that we think is not right, and then someone else makes a decision, and it's like, that is not the decision that you would have picked or decided. And it's like you've got this inner battle going on. It's like, well, how can, you know, it's like you want to try to control everything and you don't want to say, okay, God, I trust you. I let it go. We say that, but then we're like, well, you better do that, you know, and then we still try to hang on. It's like letting go. You got to let go. You cannot lean on your own understanding. But we don't want to let go. We want to hold on because we think we have the right to hold on to those wounds or those hurts or things that were done or said or not done or said because we think we're walking in the right. Did it ever occur to us that, you know what, maybe there's some things in the Lord, in us, that the Lord is trying to rock our ship a little bit to see what's stable in him and what's going to move about the ship? What needs to be thrown over? Like Jonah, like, get rid of the waste. What's the problem? We have to let go, but he's not going to make us. And the funny thing is, as soon as you let go, it's like sometimes you don't even get one more step, and it's like there it is, same thing or something different. Complete surrender. And like the verse I started out with, it's like, it's a being filled. It's over and over again. It's a daily thing. Sometimes it's an hourly thing, just to make it to the next step. You know, sometimes it's like, not too long ago the situation happened, it's like I could not see how, I could not see the reasoning of another individual, why they would make the decision they did. I mean, it just like, how can you take that situation and say that it's like, it just didn't make sense. It did not seem wise. And to be more than a conqueror, I gotta go, you know what? I gotta let it go. It doesn't matter if I think it's wise or not wise. I gotta let go of what I think is right, regardless if it's right or not. I have to let go of it. I gave I have a little something. Now, I said, those of you who were here when I did my presentation, I said I had a little something for you, and but it's not chocolate. But it's very, very simple. And it's something that, if you're serious about being more than a conqueror, because in here it's easy. It's easy to be more than a conqueror in here when things are going well, but you're going to have things when you leave that you're going to be faced with. Are you going to be more than a conqueror or less than a conqueror? And here's the reality. It's not so important that you feel like you're more than a conqueror, but that you know you're more than a conqueror. Like my mom said, I just had to rely on the Lord, whether I felt him or not, whether I knew he was there or not. But this is a flag of surrender. Because it's going to be, he's going to bring things up by the power of the Holy Spirit. He will bring things up. If you're serious about wanting to be more than a conqueror, he's going to hold you accountable to that. We want to conquer, but what's the purpose? Is it just so we can walk in our own strength? It's in him. We are more than a conqueror in him, in his love. This is to help you to, when you get to that point, wave your flag. It's like, okay. And you know, you might have to wave it like every 5 minutes to remind yourself that, you know what, I did. I said I laid that down. Because I'm talking to myself. It's easy. We say, fine, I'll trust you, and walk away, and we're mumbling, complaining, well, blah, 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 you know. Be filled daily. So I will give those to Patty, and you know, one of the things that I came across when I was just kind of reading and studying about Wilbur and Orville Wright, and they said they, you know, studied the birds and learned God's design and plan. Consider this. No bird soars in a calm. That's a quote by Wilbur Wright. No bird soars in a calm. So if you want to be more than a conqueror, there's going to be storms. It's like, in order to be a conqueror, you have to have something to conquer, right? Does everyone have one? One of the things that I love about his word is like when you find a verse and it's like, oh my gosh, that was for me today. And this Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So as you're faced with these things that you need to be more than a conqueror in, you're going to have to wave your white flag. You just have to. There's no way around it. If you want to conquer it, you're going to have to let go. You're going to have to not trust in your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him. And he's going to make your path straight. You don't have to make it straight. He's going to make it straight. So this is this is just a little melody with words that he just gave me. It's just wave your flag when you know there's something that you want to surrender and you're willing to surrender. And don't beat yourself up if you have to keep surrendering the same thing over and over again. Just go ahead and close your eyes. Thank you. So use your white flag.